Babes in the Wood by Graham Bartlett with Peter James. Read by Leighton Pugh. For Nicola and Karen. Rest in peace. We feel this is an important story to be told because it shows how one of the nastiest and slipperiest child killers in UK criminal history so very nearly escaped justice. Prologue. On the evening of the 9th of October 1986, as the worldwide smash hit musical Phantom of the Opera opened in London, 2 9-year-old girls, full of excitement, with their lives ahead of them, were about to encounter someone infinitely more terrifying than the blockbuster's haunting namesake. Thousands of children, like them, would have been clutching at the few remaining light evenings of the year, making up for the washout of a summer they had just endured. It should have been a day that they would never need to remember, melding into similar laughter-filled times that would have defined their carefree childhood. Instead, they innocently stumbled upon a real-life monster, someone they knew and should have been able to trust, someone whose depravity and utter evil could never have been imagined, let alone predicted. Crossing one road too many trapped them in his clutches, and what happened next would shatter 2 families, a community and a police force forever. It would take 1/3 of a century for the truth of those few heinous minutes to be exposed. Justice delayed is always justice denied. Part 1. Chapter 1. On the northern fringe of Brighton sits a council estate that has lurked under a murderously dark shadow for a generation. The very mention of Molescombe evokes conflicting reactions depending on how you view the world. If you are sucked in by cheap sound bites and feed off scandal-ridden rumours, you may think of it as a dumping ground for Brighton and Hove's lowlife, a cauldron of deprivation and malevolence into which no outsider dare venture. If, on the other hand, you can look beyond the provocative headlines and tired brickwork, you will appreciate it as a place that is certainly neglected, but is home to a warm and caring community of 9,000, where kids play in the street and everyone looks out for each other. Its labyrinth of small tatty semis, crammed higgledy-piggledy along its narrow streets, line one side of the main Brighton to Lewes trunk road. Originally, it was built to house returning war heroes in an attractive environment. Despite the council's lacklustre efforts to spruce up the 2.5 square miles of rabbit warren, arguably to fuel the mid-1990s right-to-buy market, the shoddy gardens and perfunctory street lighting gives the estate a dingy feel that its cheek-by-jowl design only accentuates. Although at the time I was posted to Gatwick Airport, prior to joining the CID in 1990 and the start of my climb to every rank in the city, Molescombe was my patch. In the dedicated response car, my partner, PC Dave Leaney, and I would constantly be called upon to quell warring families or arrest career criminals. Rarely were we thanked for our efforts, and the prospect of returning to find our police car jacked up on bricks, with the wheels missing, was very real. Like every other officer charged with keeping the estate safe, I saw through this animosity to appreciate a proud and cohesive community where families remained for generations. The local nature reserve, Wild Park, served Molescombe well. It spills down from the Iron Age site of Hollingbury Hill Fort to the foot of the estate. Its dense woodland and vast grassland provide the perfect relief from the cramped conditions just across the busy road. Despite its beauty and the affection the locals have for it, nowadays it is synonymous with the horror that unfolded on a single day in October 1986. I remember it well. My role at the time was to patrol Gatwick Airport's sole terminal building, a Smith & Wesson